Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. I have a proverbial frog in my throat, except I think it's just some kind of nasty tea or something. All right, here's what we're doing. We talk about the one who never compromised, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are attempting not to compromise. I think I should sue Legionnaire Ministries because their conference next February, the national conference, is called what? What do you think that's called? What would be a great name for a conference? Great name for Christian ministry. No compromise. I'm going to have to call R.C. Sproul. But Junior would probably answer, and then who knows what would happen. So, I guess it is what it is. Maybe we'll get more hits on our Facebook. Who knows? You can write us info at nocompromiseradio.com. I pretty much get an email at least every day, maybe more. And I would say, honestly, I'd say 95% of the emails are, thank you, we agree, press on, don't cancel, stuff like that. But the 5% are, you know, you shouldn't talk that way, you're not loving. When I did the Kooks and Barney segment of the NoCo Ever, a lady wrote and said I had to stop after that because I was offended. So, I don't know what to tell them. I came off as elitist. So, I've been called many things before, but that was the first time that I remember being called elitist. You can go to Greece with us if you've got the moolah, April 17th through the 27th, No Compromise Radio Ministry. We're going to go hang out together. I'm guessing around 20 people will go, and you can be one of those 20 if you'd like. And we're going to go to Ephesus and Patmos and Corinth and Athens. Can you imagine just sitting there at Corinth, and I'll preach 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. Even him crucified. Imagine going to Patmos, listening to the book of Revelation. Imagine going to Mars Hill, and I'll preach Acts 17 there. Not the matter of me preaching it. It's the Bible being taught to you in these particular places. What a time we'll have. So go ahead and you can go to the website. That is pilgrimtours.com/groups/bbcgreece.htm. Or just write me. And I'll send you a brochure. Our last time we were talking about demons, and I don't know why I was into the demon thing. I think it was the briefing from Christianity Today, How to Drive Out Demons, survey responses of 170 self-professed North American exorcists. I thought it was some Southern Baptist thing, the North American Mission Board exorcists. When I was younger, I think Blatty's Exorcist came out in 1973. And I asked my Lutheran pastor, because I loved horror movies, would that be okay for me to go see? What do you think of that? You know, it was it's creature feature kind of thing. Vampires, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, Peter Cushing, Victor Borg, whatever that guy's name is. And he said, no, I wouldn't go see that if I were you. Maybe that's the best advice that Lutheran pastor ever gave me. I don't know if he gave me any biblical advice ever, but he gave me this advice, and he said, don't go see that. And I'm glad, because I don't think I ever saw it, but I saw certain parts that I wish I wouldn't have seen. So, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I don't know. It's just stream of consciousness around here, right? This is top of the line here. No Compromise Radio. So, thinking about exorcism, and watching people with crucifixes and salt and holy water and silver bullets and wolfsbane. I mean, I like all that stuff when I was a kid. But then thinking about how real Satan is and how real demons are, it's not a thing I really like. I have to live with, I have to put up with this. I know there's an invisible war going on. I know my enemy is not primarily flesh and blood. So it's just interesting to talk about this topic. I'd ask you the questions this way, or ask the question this way. If you meet somebody or you know someone who's demon-possessed, number one, how do you know they're demon-possessed? So that's the first thing we've got to work through. So you meet someone and you think they've got a demon. How do you know it's a demon? See, because I don't think you know. I don't think you have the same set of circumstances that the New Testament had. The demon so-and-so and Legion said this or that. Because we're informed by God in this theological narrative about the demon. And now if someone says, I am the demon talking, and you have some Ramphatha kind of voice, I am the demon, and it is, you know, Hell's Bells is in the background or something, I'm not sure you know it's a demon. All too often today, people blame their problems on demons. So the demon of lust, the demon of pornography, the demon of drunkenness, the demon of postpartum depression, the demon of, and the list goes on and on and on. And so the prequel question is, how do you know it's a demon? Because I don't really think you know, because the person could lie. The demon could easily lie. You don't have any authority to say, tell me the truth, demon. And so that's the first sticky wicket to this theological conundrum wrapped up in an enigma buried in a Chinese finger puzzle. How do we know? But let's say somehow you could know. By the way, I've been a pastor now for over 15 years, served at Grace Church for 5 years, all kinds of issues going on there. Now, MacArthur, I know, has said he met this demon-possessed person. And so I believe what John said. But I know for me, I haven't met anybody in 20 years of ministry who I would consider demon-possessed. Now, you could say, Mike, you just don't get out much and you're in the middle of Suburbville in central Massachusetts. You would be correct. Now, maybe if I was in Haiti, Port-au-Prince or something, I would meet more people. But I still would be not immediately buying into, oh, that's a demon. You got a demon. That's why you have all these problems. Because the flesh takes care of people for the most part. Between the world and between the flesh, pretty much they're done. So you don't need demons. But there are demons, and so if somebody did have a demon, and I said to myself, I now know it's a demon. I'm like MacArthur, and I could know it's actually a demon. Then the question is, could you exorcise that demon out of people? Can you do it? Should you do it? How would you do that? Crosses? Crucifixes? Salt? Water? Wolfsbane? After calling each demon or group of demons out, take a deep breath and blow out through your mouth. Demons come out through tears. Air passage is like your mouth. Coughing, yawning, mucus, running nose, through the skin are no visible signs at all. Well, that's kind of a catch-all. No one knows all the answers, but I know when you blow out, it helps dislodge demons. Now, I didn't write that. Found that online on how to cast a demon out. It's pretty amazing. So if the demon comes out through tears and air passages and stuff like that, if you're breathing out, you better not take a breath in. I think it comes in the same way. I think they come in the same way. That's crazy. How about church fathers? What'd they say about demons? Origen, right? He said some things that are good and he said some things that were extremely crazy. 210, exercised by calling the name of Jesus and the name of the martyrs. So that's how you get them out. Hellenistic exorcisms, extrated, that's exactly right, extrated, E-X-T-R-A-T-E-D, extrated the demon from the nose of a person with a ring. Now, where does the ring go? How does the ring clamp on? It's like, do you put the ring up somebody's nose and grab hold of something and then you pull them out? I mean, I don't really know. They just somehow clamp on in an invisible fashion. fasteners or something, some cable ties maybe. I'd pay to see that. Rabbinic methods, some of those, they use torch lights, amulets. Ooh, now, one of the things that I'm going to read to you next, it seems like this would do it, but I don't know how to make them. That's the problem. A hell broth. Hell broths, B-R-O-T-H-S. So you get the person, and you make them a hell broth. I could make so many jokes right now. My wife's a good cook, but I could make some jokes about hell broths in a big-time fashion. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to juice my lunch these days, at least a few days a week, and I put in a lot of ginger, and I put in a lot of jalapeno, and just, you know, just blend up everything, guzzle that thing down. And when I put in beets, it's a hell broth. If I could get rid of the demon of stupid radio time, I could probably do it. So give the person a hell broth. I don't know what's in there. Probably some pinch of eyeball and some curry of wingbat. Didn't Archie Bunker call Ida the wingbat? I think he did. Was that wingbat? Dumbbat. Dumbwing. It's the craziest thing of all. I'm sitting at North Hollywood. I'm sitting at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, sitting in my study in my pastoral office. It's 4:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. My family's in California for just another couple of days. And I'm laughing by myself, watching the cars drive by. I'm looking at a picture of Luther, looking at a picture of Spurgeon. There's a picture over there of Edwards. And here I'm talking about hell broths. Sometimes you can do some fumigations, I've heard. And so I think you could call 1-800-FUMIGATION, except you have to contract it like we do in New England, so it would only be 7 total numbers. All right, how else do we get these things out? Now, by the way, let me just stop here for all seriousness. No Compromise Radio. Info at No Compromise Radio. Talking about demons, demon possessions, and how people are getting away from the Bible. Why do you think all these things are listed? Well, one of the reasons why they're listed is there's a problem, and here's the problem. People see the descriptions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and then they think that is a prescription for how to cast out demons today. And so they think that whatever Jesus did, they can do. Whatever Jesus commissioned the 12 to do, and some others, they can do. And they want to do good for the kingdom. Let's just say they have good motives. I think some are charlatans and some deliverance ministry people are, you know, posers. But let's say they have they really want to help people and they think their problem of alcohol relates to a demon. And you need to do something. So instead of just preaching the gospel to demon-possessed people and then having the demon flee, I hate to give the punchline away, but that's what we're working up toward. You've got to do some fumigations and some hell broths and some salt and a pinch of weed and a pinch of toast and a pinch of, you know, milk toast. That's the problem. So all these things, when scripture isn't enough, it just blows up. You know, and then you have to cough mucus out, and then you have to yawn, and visible signs are invisible, and see, that's what happens. So when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and it's clear and plain there that we need to put on the full armor of God and take up the full armor of God and resist the devil and stand firm and gird your loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness and have your feet shot with the gospel of preparation of peace and take up the shield of faith and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's all this kind of, in their mind, this figurative, picturesque. You know, it's not really, what does that mean? I need to have some fumigations. So I don't know if you're in the fumigation ministry or not, but if you are, I'm going to try to convince you to leave that ministry. Prayers of Exorcism were written by Martyr Tryphon for fields, vineyards. There's only one thing worse than a vineyard, and that is a demon-possessed vineyard. And gardens, which are unfruitful and might be possessed by demons. So if you've got a garden, then and it's producing crops tenfold, twofold, well, then there can't be a demon in that. But if you've got something that's not producing anything, I've got some raspberry bushes that don't seem to do too well. Maybe they've got some fumigation problems, and they could have demons, and so sometimes they write prayers for exorcism of demons out of vineyards. Now, see where we're going? Once you get away from the text, it's just chaos. All right, what else? Two exorcism prayers are attributed to Saint Modestos. That's hot there. That's a place in California. It's really hot. For animals afflicted during epidemics, especially for oxes, horses, donkeys, mules, and sheep. So now you have demon possession in animals. You know, I guess things could happen. You could have a turkey demon-possessed or a little baby doe or something demon-possessed and give you the Bambi eyes. I'm not sure. But it just never ends. It just once you let this cat out of the bag, it is big trouble. And speaking of cats, how about demon-possessed cats? I think the martyrs also say, this martyr Modesto saint said that all cats by nature at conception are demon-possessed. But you'll have to write to Saint Modestos for that particular information. Basil even mentions exorcism prayers for insects, which inflict damage upon vineyards and fields. So, you got some bugs and bees and fleas and got some beetle bugs. Maybe got those beetles that are destroying those trees around here. Maybe that's the issue. I was riding my bike, as I said before, with Steve Green this summer in California, and there's a blackberry bush that I stop at right by the mystery spot in Santa Cruz, California. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I always have to stop here for 2 minutes to eat some blackberries." And he looked at me like that was a bad idea. And then what could he do? He was not from around there. I was the local, so he had to wait. And then he took a couple off the little fumigation bush, prepared his hell broth, and sang happily ever after. May all who come behind us find us faithful. And he had some of those blackberries too. And then a bee stung me right in my back. And I didn't know if Steve Green directed that bee over to me or not, but that thing stung me and it hurt. It burned like a mad dog. It was a hot poker on my back. Man, that hurt. And I quick dug out the stinger, you know, and you can see the thing still kind of like pumping venom. And boy, that was hot that day, and it was hot for 4 or 5 days after that. And so if I would have only known that there could have been a prayer for the bee stingers near the mystery spot bramble blackberry bush, I could have been set. Briar rabbit making a dollar a minute. Tobit 8, I believe in the Roman Catholic canon. Then Tobias, remember the words of Raphael, and he took the fish's liver and heart and put them on the embers of the incense. The odor of the fish so repelled the demon that he fled. Tobit 8:3 describes Tobias burning incense in order to ward off the demon. Can you imagine? Fish smell. Now, what would that mean since every day I have to take now these, what are those, omega-3s or something? I get them from Trader Joe's and take a couple of those every day, some fish oil for my, I don't know if the fungus grows. I don't know why I take them. Why do I take them? They're fun to take. You're supposed to swallow them, but if you chew them, it gives you a good odor. Because I think the instructions and says take 2 tablets per day for fish oil for your heart, then you can have 2 tablets if you chew them. Keeps the demons from going in your air pipe, your windpipe, because, you know, through the nose, running, coughing, yawning, mucus, passages through your mouth, visible signs when you blow out, dislodge demons. Why do people do all this? Because if the scriptures are silent and you're a doer and you're showy, and you want some action, and then you don't walk by faith, but you walk by sight, you got to have some of these things. You got to have the slaying in the spirits at the charismatics for precisely the same reasons. Now, think about it. Children like shows, and there's nothing wrong with children liking shows, but children like the glitter for a reason, because they're immature. And they pick those kind of things, and so immature Christians and immature ministries, this is what they go for, because there's something to be seen. Instead of just praying, God, grant this person new life, and if your spirit goes in them to regenerate them, any other spirit that they have, unholy spirit, will be gone. 2004, Pontifical University to take on the devil. Rome, via Reuters News Service. A Vatican University said on Thursday, it says a Vatican University, I don't know how, that's something wrong with that, but Vatican University official said on Thursday it will hold a special theoretical and practical course for Roman Catholic priests on Satanism and exorcism in response to what the church says is a worrying interest in the occult, particularly among the young. Well, I give them kudos for saying there's a lot of people interested in the occult, young people, we should do something about. So no harm there, no foul, no blood, no ambulance, as Chick Hearn would say. This year, Italy was gripped by the story of two teenage members of a heavy metal rock band called the Beast of Satan, who were killed by other band members, bad members too, in a human sacrifice. The two-month course, which begins in February, will be limited to priests and advanced students of theology, or one of the 170 self-professed North American exorcists. They have a past. Will include themes such as Satanism, diabolic possession, and prayers of liberation. Who knows, there might be something for epidemics and for bee stings, too. The official Roman Catholic exorcism starts with prayers, a blessing, sprinkling of holy water, the laying on of hands of the possessed, and making the sign of the cross. It ends with an imperative formula in which the devil is ordered to leave the possessed. The formula begins, "I order you, Satan." It goes on to denounce Satan as the prince of the world, that part's true, the enemy of human salvation. It ends, "Go back, Satan." So, once you start getting these lists of these things that you should do, a standard operating procedure, the SOP manual on what to do, you have gone far from Scripture. You didn't see Jesus doing those things as the New Testament describes it. You don't see the close apostles doing those things. That's not what you see. But once you move away from Ephesians 6, spiritual warfare, what the Bible says about spiritual warfare, then all these other accoutrements happen. How was that, Ted? Jean. It's when the canon's not enough, you get all this extra stuff. If the Scripture isn't closed, sufficient, authoritative, inerrant, you know, complete, then you start adding stuff. And then it never stops. It's just the same thing with salvation, with the Roman Catholics and all that. They just got to keep adding things, one sacrament after another, and it just multiplies. All these things that you've got to do, and you've got to say, and you've got to be, it just keeps on going. And so my point to all this is, yes, I find it interesting. Yes, I try to make some fun of things, this, that, and the other place, since I'm an elitist. And I'm trying to get you to think, Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. When it comes to spiritual warfare, that is your marching order. This is an epistle of Paul. It's meant to be read at churches. It was a circular letter, and it was read at Ephesus and other places, and this is what you do. You put on the helmet of salvation. You say, what do all those things mean? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, we're going to get to that, but I'm just trying to say up front, once the scriptures aren't enough, once you say scripture plus tradition plus magisterium, then you get all this kookification out there. It's just amazing. Rite of Roman exorcism, right from the internet. You have to have explicit permission from the bishop. He should be of a mature age and be respected as a virtuous person. 2, let the exorcist note for himself the tricks and deceits which evil spirits use in order to lead him astray, for they are accustomed to answering falsely. So be careful, whatever you ask the guy could be a lie. Now, that helps me a lot. He could be lying. Oh, he might be telling the truth. The possessed should hold a crucifix in his hands or have it in front of him. Whenever available, the relics of the saints can be placed on his chest or on his head. The relics of the saints? The Holy Eucharist should not be placed on the head or anywhere on the body of the possessed. There is a danger that it will be treated irreverently. I mean, come on, can you believe that? The exorcist should perform and read the exorcism with command, authority, great faith, humility, and fervor. And when he sees that the possessing spirit is being tortured mightily, he should multiply all these efforts at pressuring it. Whenever he sees some part of the possessed person's body moving or pierced or some swelling appearing, let him make the sign of the cross and sprinkle holy water. Is there holy water in the Bible? Where is holy water? What is holy water? How much is holy water? How much do I need in holy water? Friends, if you've got a friend who is demon-possessed, you think maybe demon-possessed, maybe just crazy, you preach the gospel to them. And you start with sin, you start preaching the law, what God requires, how holy he is, how God judges sin, and then thankfully and graciously, he's not just a creator and judge, but he's also a savior. And then you talk about Jesus, the God-man, who dies a substitutionary death for sinners, raised from the dead, and the response to that is repent and belief, etc. The Spirit of God is pleased at his own free will to go into the person, and if he does, the demons will go out. We don't need all this. It's really mumbo-jumbo. No Compromise Radio.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-8255. 835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.